What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. Child, y'all need to, y'all at this point, y'all gonna have to just help your girl out. Hey, man, I've never felt older in regards to music and hip hop in my life. I've literally never felt older. I feel every bit of my age in regards to the state of hip hop right now, because it seems like there's a new rap beef that pop up and I don't be knowing none of the details. I don't got no backstory. I don't know who said what to who. I don't barely know who these people are. I know them, but I've never felt older. You know how the people who be older, the senior citizens, be having the walkers with the tennis balls. I feel like I'm one step. I got the tennis balls. Okay. Cause I've never been so out of the loop. So the past 2 weeks, I've been updating Black News listeners on where we are with the rap beef. And while I know it can be very redundant, it seems like this has been the most active few weeks that we have seen in quite some time in regards to all of this chaos, if you will, within the genre. But now, the most recent updates are as follows. And again, help your auntie out, because I'm doing the best I can with trying to figure this out. Okay. So Drake made another song. Kendrick Lamar is still on the clock, has not responded. Drake responded already. He then made another diss song, the Taylor Made Freestyle. Had to Google that because you know I didn't know it. This time he used AI and has Snoop Dogg and Tupac rapping on the track. Now, personally, I'm confused. Tupac is dead, but Snoop Dogg is still alive. Don't know why that happened. I don't know why you used AI. I'm not understanding it. And personally, I think we should all, rappers should not and singers should not utilize AI in such just all willy-nilly, because AI is already coming. And I feel like we need to beat it back as much as we can. That's just a personal opinion of mine. And I'm speaking from the entertainment, acting, comedy, television, movie side, because it's creeping up on them, and it's these jobs that they getting up out of here. So personally, I think we should fend it off as fast and as long as we can. But that then that happened. Okay, so people still waiting for Kendrick Lamar. People like, yeah, Drake won this. He being petty. What's going on? Yada yada yada. Honestly, I'm wondering if Kendrick Lamar is making an entire diss album at this point, because the boy ain't said a word. Or his tactic may be that it's beneath him and he will never say anything, because regardless of Kendrick Lamar respond or not, we still know he be rapping his ass off and we still know he's one of the best. That none of this will change that. So honestly, he may be in a good position either way, but I still think he should respond, because it's just the sport of hip hop. But then out of nowhere, and it was apparently out of nowhere to me, because somebody hit me up and said, one of the Black News listeners, she basically said that her daughter told her, and I'm a quote you, girl, and I'll quote you, but I'm gonna shout you out. Tysheena, shout out to Tysheena, Black News listener, longtime Black News supporter. So her daughter said that that Chris Brown and Quavo been beefing since maybe around 2010 or something. Help your girl out. If you beefing with somebody or got a problem with somebody for that long, you need to seek therapy, okay? Go to therapyforblackmen.com. BetterHelp. Okay? Headspace got a therapy option at this point, okay? It ain't just soundscapes no more. They got therapy. Get somebody to clock in. Because that's a long time to be carrying some weight. It makes you sick in the body. But apparently, Chris Brown got fed up for whatever reason. It sounds like it was triggered because they were at a Fashion Week show. And Quavo was sat next to Chris Brown. They had the tension. And after that, I guess it kick started. Apparently, Quavo and Karrueche kicked it. apparently per Chris Brown, all this allegedly, you ain't gonna catch me, you ain't gonna get me caught up. Allegedly, Chris Brown, his track said that he kicked it with Sweetie when Quavo was still in there. So Chris Brown released a diss track called The Weakest Link. He was rapping. Boy was rapping his ass off. Y'all know Chris Brown can rap. Mention all of that. Sweetie was mentioned. The streets was like, oh, you got body by singing. Then Quavo responds with the song called Over, I'm gonna say the cuss word, Over Hoes and Bitches. He had Takeoff, some rap, some bars from Takeoff that he added to the song because, and I'm assuming this is why, Chris Brown said something to the effect of Takeoff was a better rapper. It should have been you instead of him, which again, I don't like when it gets too violent. Let's keep it PG. Let's keep it petty. But I don't like when it get violent. And low key comments like that make me a little scared. So I don't like that. Let's keep it straight. Let's keep it rapping. Keep it singing and rapping. I don't like that. But then again, Quavo responded and had, you know, the Takeoff piece in there. Was talking about, you know, Karrueche and how this you mad over this. And he mentioned the domestic violence situation. Same with Chris Brown mentioned Sweetie getting dragged in the elevator. It's just, is it dangerous? Like, is it dangerous? This one making me a little, this one making me a little scary. So personally, I think we just own the clock. Honestly, I'm not looking at this beef because it's Quavo, who ain't really known for like bars, and Chris Brown, who was an R&B dude. I'm not expecting much from this. I'm just standing by observing like, oh, that's crazy. So I'm not sure what I should be expecting or what you all are expecting, because this is nowhere, in my opinion, the same as waiting for Drake and Kendrick Lamar and formerly J. Cole. To me, that was a rap beef. That's some old school bars. This Chris Brown and Quavo thing, I don't like it. I'm scared. But overall, I feel like that's just gonna keep going, because if it was going since 2010, honey, that ain't gonna stop. Just let me know and how it goes. What do y'all think? And were y'all expecting this? Was I the only one blindsided? Hit me up. Let me know. Give me all the tea and the details. Help your aunt out, okay? Y'all can find me on social media with all the details. You know where I'm at. You can hit me up at Kenelia on Twitter, Instagram, and hell, even Facebook at this point. Shout out to 50 Cent for opening G-Unit Studios in Shreveport, Louisiana this past week, having an official ceremony, receiving the key to the city, and just the overall effort to continue to bring film and television programs to people to consume just on a more consistent basis. Y'all know having a studio is a big deal. Being a black person with a studio is a big deal. And building a studio is a big deal. Like that whole, I know we got Tyler Perry Studios, which is huge. Tyler Perry been doing this for how gazillion many years and has his studio in Atlanta. But I think sometimes we forget how difficult or how long it takes to achieve something like that, to keep it running and just to even get it off the ground. Even if you are 50 Cent or Tyler Perry, that's a big deal. So one from the press release that was released in regards to G-Unit Studios, 50 Cent said the following: as someone who has always believed in the transformative power of music, film, and television, I'm beyond excited to introduce the expansion of my G-Unit Film and Television through the launch of G-Unit Studios right here in Shreveport. He goes on to say, that establishing the studio in Shreveport is not just a business decision. It's a commitment to fostering talent, creating opportunities, and building a community that thrives through creativity and innovation. We see Shreveport as a beacon of inspiration and creativity. And this does a lot of things. So one thing that's currently happening within entertainment, you always hear people talk about how Atlanta, the new Hollywood, and Hollywood is moving out of Los Angeles. Yes and no. As long as casting and major talent and the largest studios are based in Los Angeles, Hollywood will still be Hollywood as of now. There are now more cities that have more resources and more production studios and are able to provide more in regards to television and film than before. So I can see how it can appear that other cities are the new Hollywood. But you got to keep in mind, especially when we think about Atlanta, unless it's a show that is focused on Black people or it requires an element that is like more nature focused, a lot of stuff still film in Los Angeles and also Vancouver. Because if we're talking about the new Hollywood, a lot of people who watch TV and film don't know. A lot of that stuff y'all be watching, that's filmed in Canada. And Vancouver been Vancouvering for years. So I just want to give y'all the information, not to negate nothing that nobody's doing, but I want y'all to know there are other areas and cities across the country and outside of the country that are thriving in major ways in regards to television and film. It just isn't Atlanta. But also now with this Shreveport piece that provides other opportunities for local talent, local crews. It gives people the ability to not have to live in Los Angeles, can put down roots in more affordable cities and do the work that they love to do and that they know how to do. Because if let's say you are not on camera talent, but let's say you crew, right? Production, grip, light, sound, any of those skilled positions, you can now live in Shreveport, be linked with G-Unit Studios and provide those resources and work on all of the productions produced by G-Unit Studios within the Louisiana area. Same with, you can do that with Atlanta, because even now you can get it. If you're an actor, there are now agents who are representing people to book work in that whole Southeast region. So this does a lot, of course, for the local economy. It gives people within the entertainment industry more opportunities for work. It gives people the opportunity to look for a more affordable situation because it's getting way too expensive for people to stay living here and be able to and to be in the entertainment industry. The money don't match the cost of living anymore. It also gives Black people something else to look towards as examples, because it's when you are aspiring to do something, yes, if you have one example, one major studio example, that's one thing, but then when you start to see other people doing it, it just opens your mind and it creates more possibilities for you and opportunities for you to dream and to aspire. So this, in a lot of ways, it just opens up the door even more. I know the actors and the actresses and the people and the extras and the people down in Louisiana happy as hell, because listen, they about to get to work and I love that for them. And just overall, I'm just excited. I am interested though to see the content that comes out of G-Unit Studios. And I'm wondering if 50 is open to diversifying outside of what he has historically done. Because we know the whole Power Universe, not to say that was created by 50 Cent, because Courtney Kemp is the person who created Power. Let's not get it twisted. She got 50 Cent on board as one of the executive producers. But Power originally started from there. But again, 50 Cent was a part of producing all of the other offshoots. You got Force, you had Kanan, you got Power Book ghosts, whatever we calling that, the one with Tariq. You have all of that. You got BMF. I'm wondering if now with the implementation or the creation of G-Unit Studios, how much branching out into other genres will be happening. I'm excited to see it. I know people pitch to 50 and G-Unit and the production company all the time. So I'm anxious to see what happens next, but also excited for the people of Shreveport because this is going to be a big opportunity. I also hope, though, that with the creation of the studio and then this being a Hollywood aspect, that this could put some pressure on the local government, because we talk about politics a lot of it. But a lot of reason why people creating studios in other areas is because of the tax breaks, and it's just a cheaper overall business decision. So I'm wondering if now that Hollywood has been implanted in Louisiana, if that could sway some of the legal challenges that they're having in regards to women's rights and black people overall. That's just me. I don't think 50 that kind of person that would take that kind of stand, but I'm wondering if this could trigger something like that, the same thing that they did in Atlanta with women's rights and reproductive rights and the studios doing what they did. So I'm just throwing it out there. Okay, allegedly. Speculation. Questioning the process. Anyway, what do y'all think though about G-Unit Studios? Do you think this is a good business decision? Do you have any idea about what could come out and sprout from G-Unit Studios in regards to content, television and film? Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts about it. You can find me at Kenelia on social media. Before we wrap up, I really want to touch on a moment that went viral over the past couple of days or even last week involving Stephen A. Smith, who is the sports commentator. Y'all know Stephen A. Smith be yelling and talking about sports. Okay. It could be more or less, but we, for the sake of this conversation, we're going to say he be yelling and talking about sports. He has been going or being asked to go on different news outlets and different shows to talk about the upcoming election, politics, Trump, Biden, give his opinions. And in a way, it seems like these platforms are tasking him with being one of the spokespeople for black people as a whole, for black Americans. Well, on his recent stint on Fox News with Sean Hannity, that tells you something. He went on a rant. And you know what? I won't even call it a rant, because he was just talking like he normally talks. He was asked about Donald Trump and the indictments and the election, his thoughts about it. And there was one particular comment in regards to black people that he made that went viral and people started tearing his ass up. So I want to play that and just add a few points that I think need to be said in regards to the commentary. So I'm going to play that for us now.
Something that might will probably be termed the most uncomfortable thing that I've ever had to articulate out of my mouth from a political perspective. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system, and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that because we know we have. And that's what he articulated. As unpopular as it was, as much as we didn't like to hear it, it's the truth, and there's no way around it. Those are all contributing factors to the state of affairs with the slippage that appears to be taking fold when it comes to President Biden, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, but I do not relate to Donald Trump. I am so sorry. I do not relate to anything that he is experiencing. As a black American, I am fully aware, as you all know, about the hardships and the historical information that we have to support the evidence and our claim that we have been disenfranchised, mistreated, abused, murdered, raped, sabotaged, you name it, it has happened to us for many of years since 1619. There is nothing that we don't already know in regards to that fact, but I am so sorry. Donald Trump's hardships do not equate to any of that that we have experienced in America. I regret to inform you that we do not relate to that. That level of privilege that he has been allowed take part in and to benefit from, which has resulted in his current legal woes and challenges. I'm sorry, Stephen, we don't relate to that. Those two things can be true at the same time, but those two things are not true because of one another and do not have anything to do with each other. Okay. And also, I'm so sorry, Stephen A. Smith, but I do not want you speaking for Black people. You definitely cannot speak for me. We have got to find a way to mitigate and to monitor who feels like they have the authority to speak on behalf of Black people in this critical time. There are a lot of impressionable people who believe things only because someone that they like said it. It don't gotta be true. They ain't gotta read it for themselves. They ain't have to have done no research. They just take what somebody that they like said and believe it's true because to them, it must be true because he said it. It must be true because she said it. We are literally living in a time and place where you can just create a meme, put it on social media, or create a video, put it on social media, and people believe it. So I don't know how we do this, but we got to find a way to better manage who is feeling like they have the authority to speak publicly on these large platforms for Black people. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot of people who do not relate to any of those hardships that Donald Trump is currently experiencing. We ain't been to jail. We ain't get yammed up for falsifying our tax returns. We ain't get yammed up for falsifying how much we own in assets. We didn't try to steal no election. We didn't grope no women. We didn't sexually harass or abuse no women. We ain't grabbed nobody by the you know what. We ain't been lying on the podium. We didn't steal no classified documents. I do not relate. I do not relate. Okay. Harriet Tubman, if we're going to compare it to the Black people's struggles, Harriet Tubman cannot relate to this. Okay. Frederick Douglass can't relate. I tell you who could relate, probably the people who stole the money from the Freedmen's Bank. They probably can relate, but that wasn't us. They were not of us. Okay. Also, I want us to stop this narrative that Black people we just automatically relate to criminal behavior, because what you are saying is Black people is instinctively have criminality within them. And that is a part of Black culture and Blackness, which is incorrect. That is completely incorrect. Because we're educated people and because we know the history of America, the history of policing, we do know that from the beginning, since 1619, laws have been put in place. People have been put in place to overly patrol and overly police Black communities and Black people and Black bodies, which in turn caused an influx of accusations, of convictions, of torture, of murder, of anything that you can name of towards Black people, not because we were instinctively criminal or doing something criminal or bad. It was just because we were being overly policed and targeted by a community that hates us. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, guys, we got to do better. And again, this noise is a dog in the background barking because he probably fed up too. I want everybody to know Stephen A. Smith do not speak for me. He do not speak for Black people. We are at a point in time where there's no person who speaks for Black people in totality. We are all individuals and have different experiences and relate to different things. So we need to be wary and mindful of people who get up on these large platforms and speak in generalizations. Even me, I'm speaking on behalf of what I know, but I know for a fact that I'm not speaking for everybody. But I'm also not on Sean Hannity a platform that is purposely providing disinformation to large populations of people. And I know I'm not contributing to that. So we have that as well. Also, I told y'all, and I've been saying this, and it's the most stressful time. We be going through it. Whenever it's election season, we be going through it. I swear, this be the hardest time for people who feel like they have some type of wherewithal. There's misinformation. It's bots. You can tell people are purposely sabotaging or targeting certain communities by certain communities. I mean, the Black community and spreading disinformation and getting them to skew in a certain way without them actually fact checking or having done research. People don't know the three branches of government. They don't know how nothing work. They think Joe Biden is the person responsible for inflation across the globe. Like, I'm stressed. And we need a strategy. Okay. I can go on and on. Y'all know once I get cooking on this, y'all know I can talk politics. I can get into it, but I'm not going to get into it right now. But I do want to know what the solution is in regards to people speaking on incorrectly on behalf of Black people. What do y'all think where do we go from here? Okay. Where do we go from here? Or do you actually agree with Stephen A. Smith in this regard? I want to know what y'all think. What do you think? Do you think he was right? Do you think he was kind of right? Do you think he was full of it? Let me know. Hit me up on social media with your thoughts. You can find me at Kanelia. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about the most recent rap beefs and how Chris Brown and Quavo have officially entered the chat. We also talked about 50 Cent launching G-Unit Studios in Shreveport, Louisiana, and also spent a little bit of time talking about Stephen A. Smith's most recent comments and the backlash that he has since received. Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none, and I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kanelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is kanelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.